After a month of recess, Congress gets back to work today. The budget clock is now ticking. For fiscal year 2016, the most likely outcome is a continuing resolution of some sort. Beyond that, not a whole lot of clarity. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. And David, what is troubling about this conversation as it continues the way we've been discussing it over the last several months is not so much where they are. I'm not as worried about all the Planned Parenthood jazz and all of that stuff that could junk up the process. I'm worried about the fact that your colleague Tamar Hollerman reports there are only 12 overlapping days of work between now and the end of the fiscal year. That's what bugs me the most, David.
Well, that's right. It is a very, very short timetable. September is really more than half over in terms of Congress. It's not in terms of the calendar, but it is right. It's the Senate is actually around for, I think, 14 days, and the House for about 11, and there's only 12 of those, or 12 that they're together. And on several of those days, there's really no work going to happen. One day is when the Pope comes to address Congress. That's going to suck up all the oxygen for that day. There's also the Jewish holidays in there, which kind of shorten some of those days. So, right, it is a very short window, and as best as we can tell, while there has been staff negotiations over the summer, and we do know that there have been some bipartisan negotiations at the staff level, the principals have not signaled any of their desires of how they want to proceed. So time's getting tight already.
Now, today is not even a day that really counts, as the members are, technically there's a little bit of work being done, but everybody's pretty much, it's like the first day of school in Fairfax County. Everybody's right. Trying to figure out what room they're going back to. They've forgotten all of what's going on there as they've been out of town for the last month or so.
That's right. It's what's known on the Hill as fly-in day, and not much work actually getting done. I mean, so the big decisions are, as you said at the outset, we're definitely going to have a CR, a continuing resolution, a stopgap bill, to take us from the beginning of October. The two questions are, or several questions are, how long is it going to last, and what sort of policy riders are going to gum up the works? The how long is it going to last is, I think, interesting for people in the agencies to listen to, because there are kind of two options. There is having it last just 1 month. And some would say, well, that's silly, because they're not going to get this whole big, huge budget done by the end of October any more than they have all year. And the other is to have it last until about Thanksgiving time. The reason to have it last only until the end of October is that hooks the budget up with the regular budget up with this huge showdown over highway funding. And some on both sides of the aisle think that actually helps because it sets the table for an even bigger budget deal. Once again, we're having talk in Washington sort of at the periphery level. We haven't gotten to the leadership level yet of a grand bargain, something that combines appropriations, the highway bill, the defense budget, the defense authorization bill, maybe, and some tax breaks, sort of a self-created fiscal cliff that some think is actually it's more likely that something will get done if all those things get done.
Why is that the theory? Because that it could make sense. It could make sense. But it's, as we've seen in the last several years, what makes sense doesn't necessarily wind up bearing itself out in reality.
Well, right. The idea is that if you create I'm not good at a metaphor right now, but if you create something that is so big that everybody needs to take a bite of it.
Too big to fail.
It's too big to fail, right. It's a too big to fail thing. If you create a sandwich that is so big that everybody needs to take one bite, everybody's going to be willing to swallow it. How's that for a mixed metaphor?
Provided it's, well,
a tasty sandwich.
Yeah, we'll just make it
right.
A very
a sandwich
tasty
made
sandwich.
Out of appropriate protein.
Wow. It's quite an image to paint in one's mind. 535 people all taking a simultaneous bite out of one giant sandwich.
Exactly, or at least 218 on one side and 51 on the other. That's right. Nobody thinks that. Now, that's, if I may, that is what the big political challenge is going to be going into the fall, which is, once again, this is going to be about John Boehner and Mitch McConnell having to decide, are they going to try and make a sandwich that only Republicans want to eat, or are they going to make one that gets gets digested with both Democratic and Republican support.
What I keep hearing is that they want to negotiate directly with the White House, and they want to pretty much, it sounds like, nobody said it, but it sounds like the intent is to ignore the Democratic caucuses in both chambers. Senator McConnell said on one of the Sunday shows over the weekend that he's looking forward now, anxious to sitting down with the White House to negotiate some kind of settlement here.
Mitch McConnell is, John Boehner is, but at the same each time, and John Boehner has not said that out loud the way Mitch McConnell has, but I think we're relatively confident in saying that both of those two leaders would like to negotiate with the White House, would like to get something that could pass with the support from both sides. John Boehner's challenge is especially acute because, as we all know from the last 4 years of having the sort of since the Tea Party Revolution and the rise of the Republican majority, John Boehner's big challenge is the conservatives on his own flank who want everything that happens to happen exclusively with Republican votes, a very difficult recipe to make.
What do we make in the minute or so that we have left, David, of the challenge to John Boehner from his right? Does that mean anything in the context of a budget deal and all of that?
You know, yes, it does. I think that, I mean, the simplistic, but I think somewhat true calculus is each time you see John Boehner this fall, faint to the Democrats, i.e. say he's willing to be a bipartisan leader, that is a signal that he is probably not going to stick around for another term, that he is nearing the end of his speakership and will just try and cut a couple of big bipartisan deals, have some achievement for the congressional history books, and move on with his life. If he continues to try and work only with the Republicans, that's a signal that he wants to stick around for yet another term. My gut tells me that the former is where he wants to be, that he's now been doing this job. He will have been doing this job for 6 years, 5 or 6 years. That is actually a long time for a speaker, and that he may want to just hang it up after that.
One wouldn't blame him if he was just tired of it all, David.
It is an awful job.
David Hawking, senior editor at Roll Call. Great to talk to you as always, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Francis.